Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you once again today. We hope you all had a great week. I know it's been a hot week and didn't get quite the showers we got last week, but I know it's been a hot week, but we're so glad to be here with you today and just hope all of you had having a good weekend. This morning, we do want to turn to the Word of God again. We'll be in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read the first six verses as we think about with caution and scrutiny. With caution and scrutiny. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read the first six verses. So before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We hope that you're doing okay this morning. Some of you may be traveling. I know last weekend, boy, we were down and we had so many people out. I think I counted about 35 or 40 people who were out on vacation. But they all told me, preacher, we're not going to be there next week, but I hope they'll be back this week. But we hope that you're doing okay. And if you're traveling on vacation, we pray that you'll have a safe trip. Maybe you're shut in, or maybe this morning, maybe you're not feeling well and had to stay home. So we're going to pray for your health as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started this morning. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord, to come and to share your message upon this airway. Lord, we thank you for this radio station. We thank you for their willingness, Lord, to play our messages, Lord, and to proclaim it in the way, Lord, that we've preached it, Lord, without censoring in any way. We thank you for that, and we praise you for it. But, Lord, we pray for the ones that are listening this morning. We pray for those that may be sick and not well this morning, the shut-in. We pray for their restored health. We pray, Lord, that you would just touch them in a mighty way, being that great physician that you are. We pray for those that may be traveling this morning. Lord, we ask you to be with them. Give them a safe journey to and from wherever they may be headed today. But then, Lord, we pray for the lost. We pray for those that may not know you as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray that you'll anoint me with your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that you'll speak through me in a mighty way this morning. Cleanse me of my sin. Remove anything, Lord, in my heart that may stand between me and you, that, Lord, that we can lift Jesus up, that he'll be able to draw all people into him, that Satan will be bound, that he'll not be able to steal from us what you have for us today. As we give you all the honor and the glory for it, in Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning, as we think about with caution and scrutiny. Now, what in the world are we talking about this morning? Well, in these verses, we see John writing, and he says, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." We in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 of 1 John. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, which whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now are already in this world. You are God's little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You know, this morning, I guess if there's anything that we need more today than probably any other time, is for people to know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We see John is saying that we need to try all the spirits. We need to make sure. We need to use some discernment in making sure of those that we're going to listen to and those that we're not going to listen to. We see that he talks about that we are with caution and scrutiny to make those decisions about who we're going to listen to. For why? He says, for there are many that are what we would call antichrist in the world today. Now, I know that people get all bent out of shape talking about the antichrist. They want to talk about that one antichrist that's going to come at the end of the world and everything. But you know, there are a lot of little antichrists around in the world today. Anybody who is anti-Christ is an antichrist. Anybody that is against Christian views and Christian values and the Christian faith is an antichrist. Anybody who opposes those Christian views and those Christian things are Antichrist. And brothers and sisters, they are everywhere today. All you got to do is turn on the TV and you'll hear one preaching. All you got to do is go to the library or go to any bookstore and you'll see these books that are being written and being shared. All you got to do is watch some talk show and they'll show up on some talk show and there they are. Touring the country, going about on these things. They're writing movies. I mean, you see it time and time again. They're writing movies and everything else that you can imagine. But you know what's worse than that is that brothers and sisters, we have them in our churches. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that that's where they would show up. Because, see, that's the devil's whole plan. The devil has a counterfeit of everything that is real. Everything that is real of God and everything that God has made, the devil has a counterfeit of that. And he knows the best place that he can go in and mess up is if he can get one of these antichrists, one of these that is not of God, in the pulpit. So it should not surprise us that they are in the pulpits, that they are in our churches today. And so therefore, he says what? He says we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to take caution and with scrutiny. We need to try every spirit to see, is it a spirit of truth? Is it a spirit of error? What kind of spirit is it? And so I ask you this morning, you know, what are you doing to discern the spirits? What are you doing to decide about who you listen to or who you allow your children to listen to or who you allow them to teach them? Because look, we have Antichrist in our schools. We got them in our colleges. We got them, like I said, teaching, coaching our ball teams. We got them doing all kind of things, preaching in our pulpits. And we got to be careful. We got to take caution. And we got to use scrutiny about who we are willing to listen to. It's important. Look, I have parents tell me sometimes about children who have been out of church for years and finally they'll start going to the church and they'll be going to one of these off-the-wall church who has an antichrist as a pastor. And the parents will look at me and say, well, as long as they're going to church, it's all right, isn't it, preacher? As long as they're in some church. And I say, no, it's not all right. With caution and scrutiny, we need to be deciding who's going to be teaching our children, who's going to be teaching our youth, who's going to be preaching from our pulpits, who's going to be serving in our churches, who's going to be over our conventions, who's going to be there, because many of them are antichrist. So how do we make that decision? If we're going to have caution, and if we're going to have scrutiny, then how are we able to discern about who is a true man of God, who is a true teacher of God, and who is not? How do we decide that? Well, John, in this chapter 4 and chapter 5, he tells us exactly how to do that. What we are to look for, to. What are we supposed to scrutinize about anybody who wants to teach us or to share with us? What are their doctrines? What are they saying? First of all, he says, what is their doctrine about Jesus Christ? What do they say about Jesus? Number two is, he says, well, whose language are they speaking? When you hear them speak, whose language are they speaking? And then number three is, he says, is there genuine love being expressed? In that church, in that person that you're listening to, do they have a genuine love for people? If not, then he says you need to run the other direction. If they're not speaking your language, the language of God, then you need to run the other direction. If they have a bad doctrine about who Christ is and about who Jesus is, then you need to run in the other direction. You need to find you a different church. You need to find you somebody else to teach you about the things of God, because you're listening to one of those antichrists. So let's go back and think, first of all, then, about their doctrine about Christ. Well, what does he tell us here? He goes back and we look and we find, first of all, he says we have to believe what? What is our doctrine about Christ? What are they saying about Christ? Well, look what he says here. He begins there in verse 2. He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So he says the first thing that we have to look at the doctrine of Jesus, is do they believe in the virgin birth? Do they believe that Jesus is God come in flesh, that he is Emmanuel, I mean, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus is born, and he'll be Jesus, the Savior of the world, but he would be called Emmanuel. He would be the God that is among us, that he will be God in flesh, living here among us. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus is God in flesh. There's a lot of people that you'll ask, and they'll say, well, he was just another man. He was not born of a virgin. If you can't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, then brothers and sisters, all the rest of the gospel's down the drain. If you don't believe that he is that only begotten Son of God, then you just the rest of it just goes right down the drain. We'll get to that in just a minute. You have to believe that he is God with us, God in human form, come to this earth, to walk this earth. Listen to what he says in John chapter 1, verse 14. He says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of him and the only begotten Father, who was full of grace and truth. So did you hear that? He says, and the Word was made flesh. Now, how does John begin his gospel? Now, we're in 1 John, but we go back to John, the gospel. How did he begin it? He talked about how that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and not anything was created that the Word didn't create. So who was this Word? You know, that's how he begins talking about the Word becoming flesh. This is how he begins talking about the birth of Christ. He doesn't go through the nativity scene as Matthew and Mark and Luke do. He just goes and he says, the Word, what was God? It was with God. And the Word, what? It came and it created all things. And then you get down to verse 14, and what did it say? And the Word was made flesh. And through the flesh of Jesus, we beheld the glory of God. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. But yet it is what? It is his Son Jesus who came to this earth in fleshly form and was born of a virgin who walked among us. And that's what he says. The flesh dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And he says he was full of grace and of truth. So if you don't believe that Jesus is God in human flesh, then you've missed it. You're not of God. If you got a preacher preaching anything less than the virgin birth and that Jesus is the God in flesh, then you need to get out of there because he's missing the whole point. If you don't believe that, then you're missing the whole point. Jesus is God in flesh. And he says those that believe that are of God. Well, let's look at the second thing that we got to believe about the doctrine of Jesus. He says, second of all, we got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now, we didn't read this, but when we go to verse 15, listen to what it says. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in him. So ever who will confess that Jesus is what? The Son of God. In other words, we've got to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Son, that only begotten Son. And he says if that happens, not only are we of God, but he says what? That God dwelleth in us and we in him. In other words, we are God. If you want a good man of God who is a God dwells in, then you find one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is born of a virgin, that he is God in flesh, that he is born. Now, we go back to that John chapter 3:16, and what did it say? For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Let me ask you a question. If you don't believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, then how does that verse have any saving power? For God so loved the world that he gave whatever. That if you believe in whatever, then you will not perish but have everlasting life. No. What makes that word so important? What makes that verse so important? What makes that love of God so much is that he was willing to give his only begotten Son. He gave the best that he had. You know, in the Old Testament, it talked much about sacrifice and giving our best sacrifice and how that you must give the best that you had unto God. How that you gave that first one. You gave the first fruits, the firstborn, but you gave the very best that you have. You know, God didn't just look out and pick just some unknown person and just some old person out there in the world. It didn't matter whether he lived or died. No. Yeah, it matters where all of us live or die, doesn't it? But who did he choose? He chose his only begotten Son. So if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then he says, then God don't dwell in you and you don't dwell in God. If you don't believe he is the Son of God. You know, I've talked to people a lot of times from other world places around the world who don't believe that Jesus is. I've talked to them in Israel. You know, they still don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I've had them tell me, I've asked them, I say, look, well, who do you believe Jesus is? Oh, well, he was a prophet. He was a good man. He was a great teacher. But brothers and sisters, if you don't believe he is the only begotten Son of God, then brothers and sisters, you need to take caution. You don't need to be listening to a preacher. You don't need to be listening to anybody who don't believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Well, let's look at the third thing that we got to believe about Jesus, the doctrines of Jesus, that we can take caution and take scrutiny and discern. He says we got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, go on down to chapter 5, verse 1, and listen to what it says. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Everyone that believeth what? Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So you're either born of God, you are of God, you are in God. That's the way that we know God, and that's the way people are of God, is because of what they believe in Jesus. You've got to believe that he was God in flesh. You've got to believe that he is the only begotten Son, and then you've got to believe that he is the Christ. So what does that mean when we talk about Jesus Christ? Why do we put that word Jesus Christ? Very seldom do you just hear him talk about just Jesus. It's usually Jesus Christ. Now, why does it put that word Christ? Because the word Christ means what? That he is the Savior of the world. He is the Redeemer that they were waiting for. He is the one that they were looking forward to. He is that Christ. You don't hear people talk about John the Christ, or you don't hear him talk about Matthew the Christ, or you don't hear him talk about Paul the Christ, do you? Or Apollos the Christ. You know, Paul talked about that a lot. People getting confused, saying who they were of. And Paul says, some say you're me, some say you're of Apollos. But he said, look, I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. We plant, we water, but God gives the increase. Jesus is the Christ. Nobody else is the Christ. I don't call myself Brother Van the Christ because I'm not the Savior of the world. I can't save you. I wished I could, but I can't do it. You got to believe in Jesus, that he is the Christ. And if you believe that he is the Christ, then you will be born of God. Go back up to verse 14 in chapter 4 and look what he says there. And we have seen and we do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to do what? Be the Savior of the world. Now, we've already established what? That if you are of God, that you believe that Jesus is born in the flesh, that he was born to Mary, Holy Spirit is his Father, God is his Father, he is the only begotten Son of God, and for that reason, if we believe in that only begotten Son of God, then we know that we have salvation. Why? Because he says the Father sent him for one reason. And what was that reason? That he would be the Savior of the world. That's the reason Jesus came to the world, to be the Savior of the world. He didn't come just to do a few miracles. He didn't come just to heal the leper and to give the blind sight. He didn't come to make just a lame walk. What did he come for? He came to forgive sins and to give salvation to everyone that will believe upon him. He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And brothers and sisters, when you got a preacher preaching anything other than salvation through grace by our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, that's all you need. He's the only thing that we need. He's the only way to salvation. And if you got any preacher preaching anything else, you got any teacher teaching anything else, you got any writer of a book, author of a book writing anything else, then brothers and sisters, you got any movie that teaches anything else, you need to get away from it. You in a church that says there's Jesus and for salvation, you don't stay there. Jesus is salvation. He is the Savior of the world. And He is the only way to salvation is through Him. So we see the first thing, with caution and some scrutiny, we got to look first of all at their doctrine about Jesus. What does that Spirit say about Jesus? Try the Spirit and see. Hereby you will know the Spirit if he confesses that Jesus is come and that he is in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world, the Christ, the one that we had been looking for. Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing that we have to look at with scrutiny and with caution is whose language do they speak? Now, I know what you're thinking right off the bat. You know, we don't have too many non-English speaking churches. We do have several that are around us. We'll tell you about one in a little bit. But whose language is being spoke from the pulpit? Whose language is being spoke? Look at verses 5 and 6 again with me once again. He says, they are of the world, therefore what? Speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit, what? The spirit of error. So we see right here that he tells us what? He says those that are speaking of the world hears them. So I ask you this morning, when you're at your church, does your preacher talk more about the world or more about the Word? Now, what Word? The Word of God. Let me ask you that. Does he spend time praying before his messages? Does he spend time reading the Bible and reading the Word of God? You know, I've heard horror stories. Right here in our own association, I've heard people tell me that their preacher got up and never read the Bible, never prayed, and got up and just gave them a good talk. Did you hear that? Just gave them a good talk, kind of like a motivational speaker. Well, brothers and sisters, God didn't call me as a motivational speaker. He didn't call me to just to get up and give a good talk of what I wanted to talk about, what happened to me maybe this week, or what I think's wrong in the world. You know, do we hear more politics from our pulpits? Do we hear more political correctness from our pulpits? Do we hear more about what's going on in Washington from our pulpits, or do we hear more about what's going on in heaven? Do we hear more about what's going on in the Word of God? Can they back it up with Scripture? Do they use Scripture to back it up? Do they even read Scripture? I went down to revival this week at one of our local churches. One of my fellow brothers in the Lord, Brother Rick Kennedy, was preaching, and he was doing the revival, and he had themed the revival, Revival of the Bible. I thought that was great. Revival of the Bible. Now, you know, it's a sad day to when we got to revive the Bible reading and the Bible studying in our churches. I mean, we have gotten so used to not even bringing a Bible. We put the Scripture up on the Word, you know, up on the wall. I don't ever put my Scripture. I put where it's found, the reference, but I don't put the Scripture up there. I want people to open their Bibles. I want them to have that Bible in their hand. We've gone to iPads and cell phones and everything else for a Bible, but brothers and sisters, I like my old leather. I like to hold my old leather Bible. Because, see, I preach from the Word of God. I preach from the Word that is coming from His precious Word and from heaven above and from His Holy Spirit. You know, I throw things in about the world, surely, because the Word of God addresses what's going on in the world. But here he says, those that do what? Those that speak the language of the world hears them. The world hears what they have to say. But he says, but yet when they speak of God, those people don't hear it. They don't understand it. The Bible says what? They have eyes they don't see. They have ears that they can't hear. Why? Because they are of the world and they don't get it and they don't want to listen. I've had people who have come to me that were in churches that had a false prophet in the pulpit. And they would come to me and they would talk to me about that false prophet. And I'd say, look, I don't put down any man of God. I don't put down anybody. And all first thing I want to know is, have you went and talked to him? You know, I'm not going to talk to anybody about their pastor, about what's going on in their church, unless they've gone and talked to their own pastor first. You know, that's just good ethics between pastors. You go talk to him. You go talk to him. Don't come to me until you talk to him. And you know, it's sad so many times that this is what I hear. Well, we did go talk to him, but he didn't listen. We did go and talk to him, but he said there ain't nothing he can do about it, even though he's a pastor. And well, if he can't do about what's going on in the church, who can? Oh, brothers and sisters, are we not willing to listen? Are we not willing to listen to what God has to say? Are we not willing to sit down and reason amongst ourselves? The Bible says, let us sit down and reason amongst ourselves. Let's look in the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God says. But the problem is, we got too many false prophets. We got too many who are out there speaking the things of the world, and they're speaking the world's language. They're not speaking the language of God. So you need to ask yourself your question. What are you hearing from your pulpit? What are you hearing from those people you're listening to on FaceTime or whatever? Who are you listening to on TV? Whose books are you buying? Are they speaking more about what they think and about what they said and about what I did this and I did that? Or are they talking about what God did in His precious Word, where He teaches us about all His power and His might and the great things that He did? We need to be careful, because it is those that are not listening, those that don't want to hear what God has to say, those are those false prophets, because they know the truth will what? The truth will reveal that they are those false prophets. The truth will reveal that they're really not of God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 3:11 when he's talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a religious leader. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that speaketh that you know, I say unto you, we speak that which we know, Jesus talking about, and we testify about what we have seen, and you received it not, our witness. Did you hear what he tells Nicodemus? He said, I've been telling you, Pharisees. I've been telling you. I've seen it. I am the Son of God. I came down from heaven. But you're not receiving it. You're not listening. You're not hearing. Praise God. We know Nicodemus got saved. Well, what is their doctrine about Christ? Whose language are they speaking? Well, let's look at the last one. Is there genuine love being expressed? Look what he said. We go on down into verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For what? God is love. I use that all the time when I counsel people about getting married, about how do they know if they love one another, how do they know what true love is, if they're not Christians, if they don't know God to start with. Because that's the first step of knowing true love. You got to know God. You got to know who He is. So what about our churches? What about that genuine love? You know, that love's got to be expressed. Jesus expressed that love. When they brought the woman that had been caught in adultery before Him, they said, Moses' law said, we got to kill her. What you got to say? Well, the Pharisees, false prophets, go, what? They was all ready to kill that woman. And Jesus said, okay, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. Everybody left. What did Jesus say? Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. See, Jesus don't like sin. He hates that sin. But brother and sister, He loves people. And He wants people to repent. He wants them to change their lives. And He says to that woman, you repent. You remember when He's in Simon's house and when the lady comes in with the alabaster box and breaks it open and anoints Him. And they get upset and they say, why are you letting this woman touch you? Why are you letting her do that to you? You shouldn't let them do that. If you knew what kind of woman she was. He said, look, you know, you hadn't even tried to wash my feet with water. And look what she has done. She that is forgiven much will love much. But you have been forgiven little, they don't love much. Jesus loved people. He expressed that love to those who were around Him. He went where? He went to the Samaritan people who were outcasts. And he says to the Samaritan woman, what? You can be saved. You can have that living water. She said, what are you even talking to me for? Because you are a Jewish man. You don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. Jesus says, I love everybody. Does your church love everybody? Does your church express that love to everybody? I mean, I've heard horror stories of church members making statements. Well, them people probably wouldn't be welcome at our church. Well, let me tell you something. We love everybody at West Macomb Baptist Church. And we invite everybody to come into our doors. We want to see everybody we can come to know Jesus. We got people from every walk. We got people from every nation. We'd love to have you here because we love people. Do you love people? A false prophet is not going to love people. He's not going to care what happens to them. Satan don't love you. He wants to destroy you. He'll tell you He loves you, but listen to me. He's wanting to destroy you. Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life on that cross for you. That's true love. Do we express that true love? Let me give you an example. I had a man stand at my door the other day. He's from a non-English speaking church here in our town, in Macomb. And he came in and he had his son translating for him. And he said, I want to know if we could rent your church. We're trying to find a place to have a convention, and we're just a small church, and we don't have room. And nobody will rent me their church. I said, what? He said, no churches. Everybody tell me we don't rent a church. We don't rent our church. We don't rent our church. Now listen, we ain't into heaven. We're not going to just rent our church to anybody either. So we sat down, and the first thing we did, we talked doctrine, folks, just like I just got through telling you. We talked about Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus would do. We talked about what kind of language. He's taking the language of the world or the world or of the Spirit. And you know, after I got to talking to him, I felt led. We went down and we prayed over our building, our other welcome center, our other worship center that we have. And I told him, I said, look, I'm going to bring it for our church. And I'm going to ask them. I said, but we're going to pray for it. I'm praying in English and he's praying in Spanish. But you know what? God heard both of us and understood both of us. And praise be to God, look, my church said, yeah, they can borrow it. We'll let them use it. We'll let them use it. Because if they can reach people for Christ that we can't reach because we don't speak their language, then praise be to God. It may be 150 of them. So we're trying to get all that planned. Listen, we'll go across the world to carry the gospel to non-English speaking people. We'll spend all kind of money going across the world to non-English speaking people. And then we got them right here in our own town, and none of our churches won't let them use the building to have a conference? Oh, brothers and sisters, where is our genuine love? If we are of God, then he says we have that genuine love. We are born of God. But he that loveth not knoweth not God. This morning, what about you? With caution and scrutiny, you need to choose who you're listening to this morning. You need to check me out. You need to look at my references. Look in the Bible when I give you those verses. And make sure that you're listening to a man of God, to a teacher who truly is of God and not some false prophet. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We know our time's up. But Lord, we know your time's never up. We know your Holy Spirit can continue to work even past the time that I shut up, quit talking. That your Holy Spirit will continue to work. We pray that it would do that now, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Lead us in what you'd have us to do. Help us to exercise caution and scrutiny when we listen to those that are trying to teach us. Forgive us now of our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.